Everyone should be given a chance to hear about Krishna simply by hearing and chanting Sravanam Kirtanam. One's heart is directly purified and one's original Krishna consciousness is immediately awakened. Krishna consciousness is not artificially imposed upon the heart. It is already there. What's another name for Krishna consciousness? If somebody said to you, what do you mean Krishna consciousness? What are you talking about? What do you mean by that? Who would say, in just a very, very brief answer, just a one line, Krishna consciousness, what is it? Okay. Krishna consciousness, what is it?
Awareness of
Lord Krishna. Yeah. Any other ones? Krishna consciousness, what is it? Love. Awakening love. Krishna consciousness, what is it?
What?
Your original position. Anyone else? Love and to be loved. Yeah. I'll say one at a time, yeah? Get ready for death. Save from spiritual death. Bound to holiness. Bound. Bountifulness. Oh, bountifulness, yeah. Yeah. What is Krishna consciousness? Keeping Krishna in the center, focusing on Krishna, doing everything for Krishna. Remembering who we are and what is the meaning of life?
Gentle behavior.
Okay, so don't come for the kirtan. Don't come for the kirtan, because it wasn't so bad. But yesterday, I thought there was going to be arms and legs getting ripped off and thrown asunder if they got in the way. It got quite boisterous. It was kind of gentle, I suppose, in one sense. Yes, Prabhu. Being a servant. Yeah, you might put people off if you say that. Krishna consciousness. What is it? Conscious of Krishna at all times. Krishna consciousness, original consciousness. Srila Prabhupada said, if you say to someone, look at the shine coming through the window, they go, shine, what are you talking about, shine? The sunshine, the sunshine. As soon as you say the sunshine, we know what you're talking about. When we say consciousness, it's only when it's Krishna consciousness. That is the original consciousness. The consciousness is shining out from Krishna. So Krishna consciousness is the original consciousness. That's where we all belong. That's who we all are. Krishna conscious living entities. And we're now influenced by the modes of nature and conditioning and so many samskaras are on the subtle consciousness, so many lifetimes we've had. And we're trying to revive the original consciousness. It's in there somewhere. Dig deep. When there's 1,000 voices calling in your mind when you're chanting, one of those voices is saying, Ainanda Tanush Kinkaram, please, please, pick me up, pick me up. That's you. And the other ones, oh, look at him, his dhoti is messy, and look at him, he was late for Mangalati, and we didn't get much prasadam yesterday, and why was he looking at me like that for, and I've got a hole in my sock. They're all the other voices, but there's one voice amongst the 1,000, and it's saying, please, please, pick me up. That's your original consciousness. You want to connect, align with that when you're chanting, and chant and make that voice very strong. Please, please pick me up. I don't belong here. I want to go back into my original consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Since Krishna consciousness is inherent in every living entity, everyone should be given a chance to hear about Krishna simply by hearing, chanting, shravanam, kirtan, one's heart is directly purified and one's original Krishna consciousness is immediately awakened. Back to Notakor, he explains this hearing and his chanting, and if at the same time you're remembering the glories of the holy name whilst you're chanting, then you're worshipping the holy name. So shravanam, kirtanam, and Vishnu smaranam. What are you thinking of when you're chanting? You could be, and someone says, what are you doing? I'm chanting and I'm hearing. What are you thinking about? Not really sure, actually. You're supposed to be remembering Krishna. Am I? On top of hearing and chanting. That's a bit much, isn't it? It's taking me all my time to do that. And now you want to remember Krishna on top of all that. Should be Vishnu smiring him at the same time for the kirtan when the sravanam to be taking place properly. So then your heart is completely purified, you come to your original Krishna consciousness, it's not artificially imposed. When one chants the holy name of the Supreme Personality of God, the heart is cleansed of all mundane contamination. In the first stanza of his Shikshastika, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Chetada Panamanjanam Bhavamahadavagne Panam, Shikare Vachandrika Vitaranam, Vijivara Divanam Anandam Bhadivadanam, Padipanam Panam Vitsvadanam, Savatmasna Panam Param Vijayate, Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. The Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Does it work? Yeah, okay.
Is it on?
So basically I have two questions. I start with the first one. You were mentioning when you joined.
When I joined, yeah. I'm still joining, but yeah.
And then like 30 people will join and like next week they will leave again or next
About a month. They lasted about a month and then they frizzled away. One lasted right up until initiation. And the day after initiation he left. Because he thought when he got initiated, he thought that was it, you know. Initiation means the start. He thought initiation means finish. So he was like, I've been zapped. Okay, let's get back out there. I'm going back to God and I can do what I like as well.
I just want to ask why it is like this or why it was like this.
Why?
That everyone was leaving immediately.
Why they were all leaving. The reason why they were leaving is because they were chanting Namaparad. Namaparad, you don't make advancement. Namabas, you make advancement. But to chant Namabas, you have to be chanting with every fiber of your existence. And as soon as you relax, you go Namaparad. Because the 10th offense is not to have complete faith. Put your hands up if you've got complete faith in chanting the holy name. Jai. Okay, the rest of us, we're still working on our offenses. But we're trying anyway, we're trying to get that full faith. And it's interesting, if you don't have full faith, then you'll be maintaining material attachments. It's one or the other. Full faith, no material attachments. Maintaining material attachments, oh, you don't have full faith. So Namaparad. And also Kanishthas, a tendency, neophytes fight. So we're trying to get to Majjhima Adhikari as quickly as we can. If we're not in the Majjhima Adhikari platform, we won't know how to associate. If we don't know how to associate, we won't be able to discriminate properly how to engage in the six living exchanges, so we won't really get nourished because we'll be seeing people in a very mundane way. Tristai svabhava janateva pasasta dosha na prakritatami abhakta janashipashi ganganga samnakala buddhbuddha fena pankya ramadravatam abhagachati niradamai. Being situated in his original Krishna consciousness, a pure devotee should not be seen materialistically according to his body or his birth or his color of his skin. He should bathe in the Ganges without considering the condition of the water. Those advanced in spiritual consciousness will do that. So the challenge is, can you rise to the standard of being able to associate nicely with all the devotees, not make any offenses, and shift into Majjhima Adhikari as quickly as possible? Once you're Majjhima Adhikari, then you don't fall down. Then you can like, and then you've just got to stay a good boy, and then Ruchi will come very quickly. Then once you're getting a taste, when you're getting a taste, you're climbing up the hill, you plateau at Nishta, when you're getting a taste, you're coming down the other side, you can't stop getting up for Mangalati. It's like one of the questions this devotee asked me once, was Sankirtan leader in Scotland, he goes, Prabhu, how long do I have to do Sankirtan? And I said, until you want to. Because as soon as you want to, you won't have to do it anymore. So how long do you have to follow the four principles? How long do you have to chant Hare Krishna? How long do you have to do Sankirtan? Only until you want to. When you want to, you'll be at the stage of Ruchi. So we want to get there as quickly as we can. Because Sankirtan is very merciful, even if you're a Kanishtha. When you go out, You give him Majjhima Adhikari consciousness, even if it's only very temporarily, and you can read the street. You can see the devotee, you can see the non-devotee, you can see the envious, and you can see Krishna's hand working everything. You see everything. At least while you're in the marathon, for that little brief period of time, you're Majjhima Adhikari. And then after the marathon, and we're laughing around and joking, and then, Kanishta. And then, here, do you want to know a bit of juicy gossip? You'll never guess who's falling down. Kanishta Adhikari Kata. And then the conscience comes down again, and then there's apara, and then there's offences, and we're not chanting properly. So sometimes when we're chanting, there's not much taste, because we're having to burn off the offences we've just committed from the day before. So if you chant extra rounds, that also helps. So that's why a lot we're leaving. I mean, now it's a lot better, because we have a better infrastructure, and we have all the devotees. The greatest resource to have is to be able to go to someone that's been around the block a few times, and they can tell you, don't worry. Krishna consciousness is very interesting. It's like being on a horse and riding along on the horse. And the first thing is up for Mangalati, 4 o'clock. That's the first fence. Then the next one, 4 exit principles. Okay, no, that's the same. Okay, 16 rounds. Okay, let's go for it. 16, and then you're over the next fence. Then you're going along. Okay, I've done my rounds. I'm following the principles. I go over Mangalati. And then you see this massive mountain. Oh my God, look at that mountain. I can never. And the horse is like, I want to turn back. No. Keep going. And as you're getting closer to the mountain, suddenly the mountain looks really weird, because it's actually made out of, it's actually got a canvas surface, and you realize it's just a painting. You go straight through the mountain, and then it is again up for 4 o'clock. 4 exit principles. 16 rounds. And then you see the mountain again, you go, no, I'm just going to keep going. Nope, 4 o'clock. And then you go clean through. You go clean through all these obstacles that would just seem insurmountable. If you just keep doing what you can do, then eventually you'll be able to do what you can't do. But if you stop doing what you can do, you'll never be able to do what you can't do. So just keep doing what you can do, and eventually you'll get there. And don't freak out when you see the mountains. Oh my God. Because that's what a test is. It's not a test. A test isn't a test if you think you can pass it. A test is only a test when it's impossible. Then it's a test. So if it seems impossible, that must be a test. Okay, so keep getting up, do the rounds, and then you go through it. Don't take the tests too seriously. Understand, it's part of the course. It's part of the course. Any other questions or comments? Is that okay?
Should I ask my second question?
Oh, sorry.
And the second question is, when we spoke about like loving exchanges, so how can we be more loving when we don't feel like being...
When we don't feel loving. Well, there's a nice song, actually. Bring back that love and feeling. Now it's gone, gone, gone. Whoa. You probably don't know, because you're all too old. So in that song, he's talking about love as a feeling. So this man went to a counselor once. He said, I don't love my wife. What's the solution? And the man said, love your wife. And he goes, no, I don't understand that. I'm paying you $300. I just said, don't love wife. Yeah, so you need to love your wife. No, but I don't love my wife. He says, yeah, well, love isn't a feeling. It's a doing word. Serve your wife. Respect your wife. Listen to your wife. Protect your wife. That's how you love your wife. So we have to learn how to cultivate love. Love isn't a feeling. I feel in love with this. Oh, he's my guru. I love him. He's got a hairy chest, and he knows loads of slokas, and his dhoti's really neat, and he's got this amazing aftershave. I really love my spiritual mind. I don't love him. He just told me I was a space case. I don't love him. He didn't smile at me this morning. I looked over, and he looked at me really heavy. I don't love him anymore. I'm not taking him as my spiritual master. He's really tough and harsh. I don't want him. I want a lovey one, a cute one that gives you a cuddle and smiles at you and tells you funny jokes. So that's what we think love is. So we have to relearn what love is. Love is a doing thing. Learn to serve, learn to respect, learn to listen. That's how you'll cultivate love. They have a saying, they say in the West, a woman marries the man she loves. And in the East, a woman loves the man she marries. She cultivates the love. My wife, the first day her mother and father saw each other was the day of their wedding. And they never divorced. They had a really nice relationship. So if you're just going along by feelings, oh, I want to marry him, I really love him, I really, and then next week you're getting divorced. Better to just marry someone, cultivate the love and the respect, and that's how it will work, you know. It's more compatible. We think love is like, I love mango ice cream. Oh, I really love mango ice cream. I love it. Well, would you throw yourself under a bus for a tub of mango ice cream? Oh, I wouldn't go that far. Well, do you really love your wife? Would you step in front of the bullet for your wife? I mean, I love her, but you know, I mean, I love her, you know, but let's be reasonable, you know. Love means to sacrifice, to give everything. That's what love is. So we're just exploring this new phenomenon of genuine love. We've never come in contact with it before, practically. Prabhupada said the closest is the mother's love for the child, you know. Sometimes the car's on fire and there's a child inside, and there's been, you know, historically recorded facts of this. A woman goes up to the car and she throws the car. The kid's stuck under the car, it's on fire. She runs up to the car and she throws the car out the way to get the kid. It's physically impossible. But that's what love is, that's how powerful love is. If you really love somebody, like Prabhupada, he really loved his guru, he was prepared to do anything for him. So we're trying to come to that stage. But that's what love is to give everything, to sacrifice everything. Jai, yes, Prabhu. Are we okay to go over time a bit? Okay.
Hare Krishna Guruji. Thank you for the wonderful class. Just wanted to ask, like, what is that thing which kept you going? Because
what kept me going? Fear. Yeah. Terrible fear. When I was a kid, I had this terrible fear of the plug hole. When I was in the bath, when I was a kid, we were very poor, so it was my sister and myself would sit in the bath together. I was only like about 2 or 3 years old. But I always remember, even though I was so young, when the water used to go down the plug hole, it used to really scare me. I was thinking, oh my God, one day I'll be going down the plug hole. I'll die. And everything will be running out and I'll be going down the plug hole. And I was petrified of death. And this terrible fear of death and not being prepared for death, you know. I remember the first thought I ever had, I think I was about 6 months old, and I was in a house in Bourne Street in Liverpool, and the house was run down, and the wallpaper was kind of like this pink thing with roses on it, and it was peeling off the wall. And I was lying on this bed, which was really, it was one of these squeaky beds, it was all springs, it was all rusty. And I was looking at the side at the rust. And I remember the first conscious thought I ever had was, I'm back, oh my God, and it's a crummy house, and it's a rubbishy bed, I'm back, I've been born in like a poor family, you know, it's like, and I'm going to go through the whole thing again, you know. So there was this terrible fear that I'd done something wrong, and I have to make sure this lifetime that I don't die unprepared, I don't go down the plug hole without being prepared, you know. People are just like, they're going along on the river, and at the end of the river is this amazing waterfall that's going over all these rocks. And not only are they not preparing for it, they're going along the river in their canoe, backwards, with an LCD screen stacked up inside, and someone saying, watch out, mate, there's a massive waterfall, mate, look out. And he's like, would you mind? I'm trying to watch this film. You know, I've had enough problems today. And he's painting the canoe, and he's getting it all nice, and he's got his amazing screen, you know, they're so oblivious. They're not prepared. Then they go over backwards. The worst type of fear possible, you know. To lose the human form of life, to die like an animal. An animal that doesn't know how to even prepare. It can't really conceive of what death is. That's animal life. And here we are. We have freedom of choice, and we want to have freedom from choice. That's animal. You don't want to be held accountable. That's animal. That's an animal. No, don't, you know, I don't want to get married. Peru, why did you space out? Oh, sorry, I don't know. Well, you're supposed to be here on time. I know. Nobody wants to be accountable, held to their word. That's freedom of choice. No, you chose to be unhappy. No, you chose to be upset. No, you chose to see it in that way. Like Eleanor Roosevelt said, it's not what people do to you that hurts you, as much as how you react to what people do to you that hurt you. So it's your fault because you reacted in that way. Don't blame anybody else for it, you know. You've got your karma, tetena kampamshi shukshamano. Whatever you're getting is just a small token. Just take it. Like that, like it says up the stairs, Bhaktisiddhanta is saying, when someone blasphemes you, take it as a great blessing that he's removing your pride. He's making you become humble. Yes, Vamsi Velasprabhu. I mentioned that the microphone's not switched on.
That we should perform the six loving exchanges with the people we meet on Sankirtan.
Yeah.
I've also heard, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when commenting on Nectar of Instruction, explains that, you know, part of avoiding materialistic association is to not put your heart into the six loving exchanges with non-devotees.
Oh, yeah.
So, is there a danger of becoming contaminated by engaging in the six living exchanges too deeply on Sankirtana?
There's a danger of confusing people. I remember one time, I was a young devotee and I was a bit of a mum's boy, you know. So I'd been a devotee for, I don't know, maybe a year. I was having a really, really tough time. In those days, we didn't have mobile phones. So I went in the phone box and I phoned my mum up. And she goes, Tony, what's wrong, Tony? She's from Liverpool. I said, oh, Mum, it's terrible. I'm really getting hit hard by the modes. So there's this silence. She goes, Tony, well, sit down and have a cup of tea, son. And then I realised she just doesn't understand what's going on, you know. I can't reveal my mind to her, you know. So there's only a certain depth of living exchange you can engage in. And that's why the next one, Krishnati Yajigirita Manashadrita, just show respect in your mind to those that are chanting, is then, now Rupa Goswami is clarifying, okay, yeah, we do want to do the living exchanges, we have to be nice to all the innocent ones and try and help them, but you have to learn who it is, who's the Uttam Adhikari, whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. He may point out faults, but not in a way that's to put you down. Like Krishna says to Arjuna, you can do better than this. How these impurities come upon you. But at the same time, he's saying to Arjuna, you're better than this. You can do this, you know. He's empowering Arjuna to go on and do an amazing feat. So the living exchanges are to be engaged in with discrimination. It's become a stigmatized word now. Oh, he discriminated. Oh yeah, he was discriminating, you know, and as if that's really bad. You have to, can you imagine a doctor going in and saying, it's okay, I'm new age and I don't discriminate. Everyone's getting the needle today, so he's just going along stabbing everyone. You're getting it. But I'm not even that sick, really. No, you're getting it as well. So he has to discriminate, doesn't he? He has to understand, okay, who needs the medicine? Who can take a sugar lump? Who can take the strong stuff? He has to learn to discriminate. So it's the same with living exchange. So with text 5 of Nectar of Instruction, we can then come to that stage. And that's why the next warning after that is Tristayas for Baba Janet here. And don't just look at the superficial thing, you know, that, I don't like him. He's got a massive nose. I don't know what it is about people with big noses, you know. And you're allowing the externals, his level of competency to do something to determine how you consider. And that's a real problem with Kanishthas, is that they tend to look at devotees, and if they're not very competent and, you know, they may be a little bit disheveled, they think, oh, he must be a total space case, that one, isn't he? But he may be very advanced, but you're just looking at the superficials, you know. That his dhoti doesn't look very neat, so therefore he can't be very advanced. So we have to learn to discriminate. Then we can know how to approach people. We approach one person one way, another person we can approach in a very funny way, another person we have to be a little bit more serious. We have to just read them instantaneously and know exactly how it is. And you just get that ability when you're on a marathon, you break through into this consciousness where you almost know what the person's going to say before they've said it, because you're so connected. It's like you're reading their minds. You can just say, like one day he was doing Sankirtan, and he said to this lady, he said, hey, read this book. I guarantee you read this book, you'll never commit suicide. So she's like, how much is the book? And that Sunday, she turns up for the Sunday feast. She said, she came over and she said, Prabhu, I was just on my way home to commit suicide. And when you gave me that book and said, if I read this, I'll not commit suicide. I read it from cover to cover, and I decided suicide's not a good idea. So thanks for saving my life. He's never said it before, and he's never said it since. But he just said, a super soul just said, tell her that this will stop her committing suicide, because she's going to finish herself off otherwise. So what an amazing service, you know. When I was a kid, I was really miffed because we had these Bible classes. There was like bushes of fire and wine coming out of everywhere and seas part. And I was thinking, it's okay for those guys. They could believe in God. And we're supposed to believe in him and we don't even get to see any miracles. That's not very fair. You know, and they were there hanging around with Jesus and seeing all the miracles and walking on the water. And we're supposed to follow it as well. We didn't even get a chance to see that. That doesn't seem very fair. Little did I know that in just a few short years at the age of 19, I was going to come contact with Srila Prabhupada. And then not only hear about miracles, but get a chance to go out and do a service where you see miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. One after the other. It's like, how can you not believe? Like Pragosh was saying yesterday, the Guru Shakti stories. How can you not believe in God? How can you do Sangatana and not believe in God when you see so many miracles? You just say the right thing to the right person at the right time, you know? So many amazing things. Should we finish now? Or one more? Yep. Hari Bol. My feet are freezing.
I'd just like to clarify a little point. In the Gita Jayanti, Keshavav Maharaj made a very good point that the divine and the demoniac natures is a choice for the jiva. The jiva has the choice to serve Krishna or to push him away. So when you said that everything coming at you is a result of your karma, that may not necessarily be the case. It could just be someone is in your face because they're not a particularly nice person. And this brings it back to the point of discrimination, where you should not necessarily let yourself be a doormat for everything that comes to you. You should discriminate.
Yeah, that's why what happens to you doesn't hurt you as much as how you react. You have to learn how to be Trinadapi Sunichai Na. So if you're always showing respect and not looking for any, then you're safe, you know, whatever hits you. It's the problem is we react to things. Our reaction is the problem. And we have to learn to take control of our reaction. Then once we can react in the right way to everything, then nothing becomes adverse. In fact, you become like Queen Kunti. You're saying, bring it on. Bring on the problems, because I know how to react now. I know how to take shelter of Krishna. And once I take shelter of Krishna, all the trepidation goes, all the fear goes. So we need to learn to learn that technique, because one day we'll be dying. And we could be chanting all loads of slokas, and we're dying, and someone puts their hand inside the cage, and the parrot's been saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then, no more Hare Krishna. Because it didn't learn how to react. It knew all the verses, all the slokas, it knew the mantra, it knew everything. But it didn't go any deeper than just knowing something intellectually. So how does it go deeper? Realization means to make something real. That's what a realization is. You've come in contact with something that's real. How do you make that real now? The first blossoming of the hearing process, Shiva Ramaraj was saying in Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, the first blossoming of the hearing process is the ability to implement what you hear. So if you're hearing, you're reading lots of things, and I know I should be humble, and I should be serving, and I should be enthusiastic. You're hearing all these things. But when you start doing them, that's the flowering of the hearing process. So when you're reading, you're being told what to do. It's not just some kind of philosophy that you pontificate on. Well, that's an interesting concept. Does that mean then that if the universes are coming out the pores of the skin like that, that multiplied by 7 million, that would affect the way I looked at the clouds in the sky? That's interesting. But you don't change. You're just the same goofy guy that you always were, you know? We should be reading it thinking, oh my God, I'm not like that. And am I going to do that? I'm going to get that. I'm going to achieve that. Jai Iskan Guru Vrindaki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Mahaprasadam ki, Gaura Premanandi, Haribol.